Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, Ewan Spence here. It's all about Windows Phone Insight 16, but it's also all about Symbian Insight number 204. The biggest mobile industry event of the calendar year is happening. It's MWC, where everybody gathers under one roof, and we're doing exactly the same with the main podcast as well. All your Windows Phone news and all Symbian news is going to be coming up in the next one. We're specifically looking at Mobile World Congress. We're previewing the fun at Barcelona, what you can expect also to come out of the Catalan region and what to come out of the sites as well. And joining that, we have the best industry commentators that Skype can buy, at least if they have a little bit of a joke and a laugh on the All About sites. You've already heard him once in this podcast, popping in there like a little tiny Sid James. We have Steve Litchfield.
We'll try not to do my carry-on podcasting impression, but hello, everyone.
Steve, you've never been at MWC, have you?
I have never made it there. The budget never allowed it. Maybe one year.
Maybe. It's not this year, though. David is also up in Hull. David, will you be taking that trip down to the Costa Brava?
No, I will be going to Barcelona virtually. I will be existing there as a digital entity, spying on everything that happens quicker than anyone could do on foot.
And we have one last chance here. Rafe Blanford. Rafe, are you going to MWC?
Hello, everybody. Yes, indeed, I'm going to MWC. I think this is my seventh or eighth time. I actually can't quite remember. I've lost count. But I always look forward to it. It's one of the highlights of the year for the mobile industry. Although I'll be the first to say it's not without some inconvenience, as 60,000 people try to crowd into a city, and it's a lot going on. So I'll be very busy next week.
So, Rafe, there is one very, very important question, and it's not fluffy at all. Have you checked you've got your hotel room this year?
Yes, I have checked. I've got my hotel room. Ewan's making reference here to the first time I went to MWC and Ewan was along for the ride, that there was a slight mix-up on hotel reservations, but thankfully it was all sorted out. And each year now I check extra carefully, so I'll be staying in the old quarter of Barcelona.
And for those who'd like to know, yes, he does snore. Right then. MWC. Obviously, you'll be able to follow allaboutsymbian.com and allaboutwindowsphone.com. We'll talk about our coverage later on, but you've probably got a quick flavour of that. But first, the big question. Rafe, let's go macro. What is MWC? Why do we care? And wasn't it called something else previously?
It was called something else previously. It was formerly 3GSM. It's actually run by GSMA, which is an industry association. And MWC now stands for Mobile World Congress, which probably gives you an idea what it's all about. It's really the biggest event in the mobile calendar. It's a big industry trade show, in effect, although there's also a conference that goes on at the same time, various streams where you get keynote speakers from manufacturers, operators, network providers, and everyone else in between, of course. It's spread across 8 show floors. It's an absolutely enormous area. I'm not sure how many people are going to be there this year. I would imagine it'll be in the region of 70,000. But everyone and anyone from the mobile industry is there. And, you know, you get big phone announcements, but you get little announcements from companies about infrastructure or apps and all sorts of business dealings going on. I mean, for all the public side of the show, which itself is absolutely enormous, it goes on for 4 days, and there's actually a sort of early day as well where a lot of the press announcements get made. A lot of behind-the-scenes meetings go on. You know, this is where operators may sign up for a particular handset, or there'll be industry collaboration, board meetings, and so on. There's also lots of activities for developers. There's 4 developer days as well. Nokia doing one of those, as is HTC, IBM, and a couple of other companies. So it's kind of quite hard to get your mind around it. But if you kind of think of it as the big event in mobile, and this is on a global scale, you'll get people from every single continent all over the world coming in. It's a real mixing pot of people, events, and going on. And I will say it's pretty exciting, because it's the one time where you can go and see all of the industry stuff in one place over a very short period of time.
Yeah, it should be fair to note that although Rafe's the only one of the All About team going to Mobile World Congress, it's fair to say that, as from my experience of these conferences, Rafe, when you're there, you're basically all engaged with the stands and presentations and keynotes, and also presumably limited connectivity. And it's a jolly good thing to have us chaps back at base with high-speed broadband, able to cover all the stories and do the writing while you get down to business. I think it's a good partnership.
That's very fair. So I, for one, am very glad that I've got a great team that I can rely on back at base to cover a lot of the stories, because in many cases, you'll just see a press release and a few images. And of course, it's great to be able to go and get some hands-on time on the handsets. And that's something I'll concentrate on providing, because I know the audience is always interested in hearing about what we think of the phones. But yes, a lot of it, you know, there is so much going on that it can be hard to know what to do. Of course, when you're in amongst all of that kind of thing, yes, you do have limited connectivity, but it's also opportunity to make the most of, and we can come back and talk about it and report on it to a certain extent afterward. That's always been the All About SAR. We don't necessarily feel the need to absolutely break all the news as soon as we can. Would rather give you an informed opinion, and certainly in terms of industry events, this is the most important one for me, for sort of clarifying my thinking about where the industry is going, what kind of strategies companies are following, what products are interesting, and what kind of is the mood of the industry, if you will.
I suppose there is one question I have, Rafe, which is, are you delivering a keynote about the All About Windows phone application?
No, I'm not delivering a keynote about the All About Windows phone application, but I will happily show it off to anybody I meet, and I'll be talking a bit about the future plans for the All About site. So if you run into me or see me running around like a headless chicken, please come and say hello. It's always great to meet people who particularly read the site or are knowledgeable about the areas in which we operate, because it's great having a discussion. And certainly that element, having a conversation, the social bit, is the part I probably enjoy most about MWC.
Let's have a look at Symbian now. Of course, there's a All About Symbian WRT as well that you can grab from the source. I don't feel completely left out. But Steve, you know, there's 60, 70,000 people hitting MWC. There's not a lot of column inches, and a lot of companies are quite strategic in getting their stories out the week before, maybe not through official routes. There's quite a big buzz in the air, even from Symbian that's allegedly a year and a couple of days dead.
Allegedly. In actual fact, debate has raged as to whether Stephen Elop's announcements a year ago, more or less to the day, were slightly overstated or something was quite not clearly communicated. But leaving that to one side, it's fair to say that Symbian has rolled on with a fair amount of inertia, still selling around 20 million smartphones per quarter. That number's obviously going down slightly. And we've had rumours that perhaps there's only going to be one more Symbian smartphone ever announced. Well, Nokia has now teased by its own official YouTube channel a PureView, obviously a camera phone teaser with a clear indication there's going to be something major on the camera phone front coming up, announced on Monday, and Rafe will be there to cover it. Of course, I'll be leaping on it like a gazelle on a newly furnished leaf or something like that. So that's something with a Pure or View. There's been rumours around that name, so I'm looking forward to something probably from the Symbian world, probably as a successor to the N8, and I'd love to see what Nokia have come up with in the 2 years since the N8 was first announced. So very, very good. There's a possibility, I guess, of more lower-end Symbian smartphones being announced later in the year, but I don't think we'll see that at Mobile World Congress.
Yes, I think Steve's right on the money there. Obviously, there's no official confirmation about this yet, but there is this teaser video that Steve referred to. It's been uploaded to Nokia's official YouTube account and making some very obvious references to camera functionality. So that's why we think there's, you know, a new camera phone coming. And if you look at the timescale of this in terms of things like the N93, the 82, the 86, the N8, the timing's about right. The reason we think it's particularly a Symbian device is just because of the timeline it takes to develop this kind of technology. We're talking about something that's a very serious engineering effort, and that means 2 years plus. So the suspicion will be it'll be on Symbian just because there isn't time for it to be on Windows Phone. I mean, I'm sure that's going to be an interesting debate when people see this, what will be seen as a flagship Symbian device coming out, you know, breaking new boundaries, presumably. I mean, Nokia have been quite obvious in dropping the hints about this, but it is all speculative at this point. Should just reiterate that. So we'll see that. I think Steve's probably right. We won't see any other Symbian devices, although I suspect we will see some later in the year. We'll talk about software updates later in this podcast. There will, I no doubt, be a few applications kicking around, but I think it's probably fair to say, in reality, the industry has moved on a little bit from Symbian, so I don't expect there to be that much around it. I suspect if there is another Symbian device from Nokia, people might be a bit perplexed, but that's probably because they don't really understand how these things work and that there's still a big latent demand from Symbian users out there. to, you know, have another high-end handset. And I think everybody on the All About Symbian team will be very pleased to see another sort of mid to high-end Symbian handset. Now, I'm sure a lot of listeners out there will be delighted to see it too. And as I say, we'll do our best to get you all the information we can on that as soon as possible.
I think while a lot of people would like to see a super camera phone running Windows Phone 7 from Nokia as well, in addition to what Rafe was saying, that this device, if there is a device, has been in the works since they rolled out the N8. And then since then, a lot has happened. I think it also works in Nokia's favor because given that Symbian is slowly trailing off, there needs to be a differentiator between Nokia's Windows Phone 7 devices and Symbian devices as a reason to keep buying the Symbian devices. And there will be a niche group of people who will leap on a super camera phone like this, whatever operating system it's running.
That's right. And it's probably worth pointing out as well that, you know, when you've been actively developing something like this, changing the platform in kind of mid-stride is not an easy thing to do. But as Stephen Elop said right from the word go on this, they will use sort of technology on their future products. We've already seen that with the kind of the design of the N9 and then subsequently the Lumia 800. And I have no doubt at all that this camera prowess will be one of the things that transfers across to Windows Phone. And in some ways it makes a lot of sense to get it out there in the form of an updated Symbian device. And later on in the year, perhaps we'll see something similar running Windows Phone when the software platform may be equipped to do the necessary with the hardware. The byproduct of this is, I think, it's going to make a lot of Symbian people happy. But that's the reason we're talking about it there. But as I say, it is speculative, so wait and see on Monday. And the press conference is taking place at, I believe, 9 o'clock Spanish time. So that's going to be 8 a.m. UK time.
And, yeah, it's a kind of a measure of Nokia's prowess, really, in the camera phone space. That although the N8 was announced, 2 years ago now, and the device has physically been available in shops now for 1 year, 5 months. Almost every commentator in the world still reckons it's got the best camera of any phone, despite all that time expiring. And now we have the N8 successor possibly coming on the horizon. And maybe that will keep Nokia in front for another 2 years. It does seem as if their lead has been continually extended. And of course, there's one other factor. We don't actually know if they do announce a Symbian device on Monday, whether it will be running Symbian Belle or maybe the next version of Symbian, rumoured to start with the letter C. So,
Colin, Symbian Colin.
I think they'll probably stick with the girl's name, sadly, Ewan, although Symbian Colin does have
Colleen,
a certain ring to
Colleen.
It. In terms of that, that's unclear, and we'll have to wait and see. Certainly, we know that there is another software update coming. Nokia have been quite clear about that, and obviously it's been Anna, it's been Bell. It'll be C something. I suspect it won't be as such a big and obvious update as Bell, because that obviously was a big visual change from Anna, and Anna had a lot of underlying changes. What I really expect in the next version is for it to be, you know, smoothing out some of the rough edges of Bell and maybe advancing some of the applications. You know, we've talked in the last couple of All About Symbian podcasts about some of the inconsistencies in Bell, so there's certainly room for improvement. And there'll also obviously be some stuff around, you know, the technology that's coming, NFC functionality, and, you know, they'll look to improve things like the web browser, and there's also the Office apps coming in due course. So I'll also be looking out for all of that. You know, there'll be some, no doubt, interesting demos and, you know, all the Qt technology. I'm sure they'll be showcasing some of the applications and developers on the Symbian platform. So that's all something I'll be looking to report on. We'll just have to wait and see as to which exact version it is running. If you're looking at the timing, I mean, Anna and Bell were sort of 6 months or so apart. So given that Bell was announced at the end of the summer, it's quite possible that Carla is, you know, due for announcement now. I would suspect that if it does get announced, it will then be a couple of months before we see any devices running on it. And then it'll be a bit longer before we hear anything about upgrades. But of course, again, we'll keep you informed about all of that.
I have a question to go around the whole panel. Rafe, I'll start with you, given it's your expertise. But let's assume that Nokia announced a Symbian phone. Let's also assume that there's going to be some sort of Windows phone announcement from Nokia, because it's MWC and you have everybody there. Last year, there was a lot of criticism about them getting the message muddled. How can Nokia and ergo Symbian and ergo Windows Phone as well not have the muddled message from Finland coming out of MWC? Rafe?
Great question, Ewan. I think a lot of people in the industry be wondering the same thing. We're all dealing in theoreticals here. But I think it's fair to say that it will be a common question. The answer is really what I hinted at earlier, that this is kind of an example of Nokia innovation, the technology, and that those development cycles don't always align with company strategy. And when you go through a transition, it's not a switch it on, switch it off thing. And so inevitably, it's not going to overlap completely. I think the focus will be on what a great example of Nokia engineering it is, and they'll probably de-emphasize the platform or at least try to avoid it. I think in part at least it will be outweighed by the fact I expect there to be a couple of Windows Phone announcements from Nokia as well. You know, we'll talk about them a little bit later in the show. And so, you know, although there will be that inevitable question, hopefully they'll be able to communicate on it clearly. But yes, it's important for them to get the messaging right on that.
And I would say, in answer to your question, Ewan, the thing that Nokia needs to do to not give mixed signals is to just stick on the message that they are currently on. Because last year at MWC, Stephen Elop had to go to Barcelona and spend his keynote clarifying the questions that weren't very well handled in the February 11th press conference about the future of Symbian. They've spent a year now clarifying that message about what they're doing about Symbian, what they're doing about Windows Phone. If they come out with anything new or surprising or any of those little side projects they want to try out, people are going to start to back away again and think, oh, dear Nokia, what are you doing? And it's going to be obvious all over again. So really what they have to do is say, yes, we're still on course. We're doing what we said we're doing and nothing else.
Yeah, I think that's right. It will be kind of business as usual as the message. And this is an example of what we can do. And they may even say something like, you know, you can expect to see this on Windows Phone in due course. And it's really the way they handle the message. And I think anyone who's got a rational bone in their body is going to look at it and go, yes, this is kind of a consequence of a switch, which, you know, let's not be shy about it. Originally, Nokia was not intending to follow this path. It would have been Miguel Hartmatten, and I'm sure we'll get plenty of people saying, I wish this camera phone was on Symbian, on Series 40, on Windows Phone, on Hartmatten, etc., etc.
And it wouldn't surprise me if you'll read all of that in our comments on either side, wherever you go. But there's more than one platform in this podcast, as well as MWC. Steve, you've been having a look over the Windows Phone expectations for MWC. And it's fair to say there's probably more pressure on Microsoft than there is on Nokia this year.
I think that's probably right. There's one point I wanted to make as a kind of an intro to our coverage of expectations of Windows Phone at the conference. I've been looking through all the pre-MWC announcements, and believe me, this year there's been more phones announced than the week before Mobile World Congress than ever before. I think up to 12 now, from Panasonic, LG, ZTE, Samsung, and others. Not one single one of them, though. They're all Android, absolutely all Android. Not one Windows Phone device among them. And it kind of worries me a bit, really. Windows Phone is, you know, there's the branch of the third ecosystem and a big, massive push from Microsoft. And I just wonder, I just hope that there are going to be some Windows Phone launches apart from what perhaps Nokia might produce. Otherwise, the platform will just fall down flat a tiny bit. Rafe, what do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I mean, each year at MWC, people try to pick out, you know, the big trends. And for the last couple of years, Android has been one of them. And I fully expect that to continue. But there's also, you know, what's the star device? It's going to be really interesting this year because there are potentially quite a few candidates. But I'd agree with you. It's going to be interesting to see whether we see any other device manufacturers making Windows Phone announcement. You know, we do expect some maybe from the likes of ZTE, but, you know, there's very little we can say until it happens. And it'll be something we'll talk about in the aftermath. But there'll be a question, will HTC do something? They may not be ready for their next set of announcements. But there are some of the other manufacturers that have been mentioned. There's Asus, for example. They may be doing something. Will Samsung, you know, quietly do something or at least announce some wider availability for some of the US devices? I think, though, the focus will probably be on Nokia, and there's the focus on Microsoft itself because people are anticipating some platform announcements. There's kind of two things there. They've talked about, you know, an intermediate update to make Windows Phone available on maybe lower cost devices in terms of specifications, but also more importantly, I think the kind of language variants. So I suspect we'll hear something about that, if it's only in a slightly informal way, when there are a couple of device announcements that kind of take advantage of this wider availability. I think perhaps people may be surprised that there may not be all that much on the next big version of Windows Phone. I suspect Microsoft may choose to do that at a separate event altogether. We may start hearing the first bits and pieces about it, but given that we know, you know, it's kind of due end of the year, so we're talking Q4 2012 probably, I think Microsoft will probably want to avoid hyping it up too much, because it is such a long way away, and there's, you know, a distinct danger in talking about something that's not vaporware exactly, but has a long time to go. You know, it's better to concentrate the announcements close together. And at the moment, Microsoft and Nokia are probably still benefiting from the wave of Nokia's announcement. And that's particularly true if they maybe announce something like wider availability for the 900 or some equivalent kind of device. And it may be that Windows Phone comes out of MWC on a slightly lower key than people were anticipating. You know, people love to drive up the drama and say there's going to be a big fight between X and Y. That tends not to be how MWC works. I mean, what will be interesting from, you know, the Android point of view, yes, there's going to be tens of devices. It's going to be interesting, will one stand out? I mean, Samsung have already said that there's not going to be an announcement of the Galaxy S3. That's going to happen later. And that's kind of, again, the trend towards announcing things outside the big trade shows. But will there be other stories? One of them will probably be about the Japanese companies coming back into the European and American markets. Steve's already mentioned Panasonic there. But there's also a certain extent of, not lethargy exactly, but there's a sense that Android needs to do something more than just turn up and produce loads of devices. You know, some of its competitors, notably Microsoft, but also Apple, kind of talk about people getting tired of Android. It's, you know, it's nothing new to talk about. So I suspect, you know, it won't be enough just for there to be loads of Android devices. People will need to have their breath taken away. And, you know, there's always this hype before MWC, and sometimes people come away a little bit disappointed because there's not anything big and new and shiny. And while I expect there to be loads of activity at MWC this year, just perhaps it may not be quite as exciting as people are thinking.
Yes, and just to pick up on what Steve was saying about pre-announcements of Windows Phone 7 devices, if anyone listening does a Google search for WP7 MWC leaks, they will see which manufacturers are supposedly bringing out WP7 devices. And it is going to be, probably going to be a lot of the same Android OEMs who are making Windows Phone 7 devices. And if that's the case, I think they are being somewhat reticent because they may be afraid of cannibalizing their Android sales, which is a little bit short-sighted because, as Apple have said, if anyone's going to cannibalize our sales, we'd rather it be us. But I think I don't think there is going to be a big star device, because the thing is, iOS, Android, Windows Phone 7, they are designed for primarily one type of device, a thin touchscreen device with as few buttons as possible. There are only so many ways you can reinvent that, and I actually think that we've actually got too many, just in general across all platforms, we've got too many models floating around, because, like I said, there's only so many ways you can redo the same thing. So probably, if anything, and I hate to bang the Nokia drum again, it's probably going to be the Lumia 800, even though it's getting older now. It hasn't been on sale for long, but we know quickly things turn around. It's probably going to be the Lumia 800, but he's going to get a lot of interest, because the only thing that's left is like little design tweaks, and that is the only thing that's doing anything different in the design stakes, because topologically, they're all identical.
And there's other considerations as well. I'm going to swing back to Android for a second, if everybody doesn't mind listening, which is, you know, if we're going to see anything, I think we might see an announcement of version 5 of Android, probably tailored toward tablet devices at the end of the year. And I find that absolutely crazy, because, I mean, only this weekend, my Tab 7 got an upgrade from 2.2 to 2.3 over the air. There's still 2.1 devices out there. You know, Android is striving forward, but it's leaving a huge amount of detritus and handsets. And, you know, developers are targeting lowest common denominator on Android. So I worry that Android is overextending itself. And I don't want to see that on any platform. What, you know, lots of healthy ecosystems, three or four of them bouncing around each other. And you know, Android to me feels stretched at the moment. And I think if we get this pitch and if we get lots of OEMs making lots of handsets, it's going to be like, you know, walking around a restaurant with Michel Roux and ending up in McDonald's.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I hate to say it, I am feeling quite bored and disinterested with Android, and I really do hate to say that. But I think if there are going to be any stories, it's like I'm just saying, in terms of like phones, it's hard to make a hero phone now. It's been done so many times. You have to either have like a specific hardware feature like a camera or perhaps services. And I have to say, I'm going to bang the Linux drum now because I think Canonical are doing something interesting with Ubuntu on Android. And you have your Android phone with its dual core processor, and you can just plug it into a docking station, which is hooked up to a keyboard and monitor, and it becomes a fully functional Ubuntu desktop. And on one hand, I'm not quite sure how they're going to do that, because are there going to be docking stations with screens anywhere, or do you just do it when you're at home and the phone is your main computer? But I think that's really interesting. And as much as I think there's a limited use case, I think it's going to get people talking in the same way that the iPad Transformer or the Motorola Atrix did.
How come David gets to mention Linux and there's no Linux jar for putting coins in you? And whereas whenever I mention Scion, I have to cough up. I think that's unfair.
It could be that his devices are still going concern, Steve.
I think perhaps we should be trying to be a bit more cheerful about MWC. I mean, in terms of things that I think will be the stories, I mean, I don't think Android 5 is going to be announced. I'm happy to be proved wrong by that. But let's not be, let's be clear about this. It will still be a big story at Android because it is dominating the industry in terms of the number of devices and loads of attention on it. And in the absence of Apple, which always happens at MWC, you know, that's kind of the big platform beast that people will be talking about, showing off their apps on and everything else. Bear in mind, we've also got HTC kind of due to announce their new product line. And given they've had a few mishits recently, I think there'll be a lot of attention on that. If they get the branding and the communication right about that, that'll create a lot of buzz. Similarly, Sony's coming to the first MWC as Sony rather than Sony Ericsson, and it will be keen to make as much noise as possible. There's also going to be the Chinese companies like Huawei and ZTE. You know, they'll be showing off smartphones, almost becoming primary smartphone players rather than kind of rebadging things for operators. And, you know, they're on a rising tide, I feel. And I suspect to hear more about that. And so there'll be a lot of, general background chat about all of those. But there, I think, will be some fatigue about smartphones and Android and apps and all of that. You know, people will be looking for the bigger stories. So there may be things around services or around interesting things with infrastructure. And David sort of hinted at it there. The devices that may get a bit of play are going to be ones that, you know, do something a bit differently or have a feature that stands out. Now, we've talked about the Nokia camera phone device. That's obviously one that might get people talking about if they do something really interesting or other bits of information. You know, we mentioned the Japanese companies coming in, bringing some of the Japanese design elements, light waterproof phones, fingerprint readers, and very thin design, you know, kind of a Japanese styling that people aren't, or rather haven't seen in the European market for the last couple of years. That could get people talking as well. And other than that, I suspect it may be just a case of people being kind of, wow, mobile's back in a big way, and there's so much going on, it's hard to keep track of everything. We will obviously do our best to cover, you know, both the Symbian and the Windows Phone story, but we're also going to try and round up some of the big, you know, themes and things going on outside of MWC in our specific area, because, you know, there is a big industry interest here.
Yeah. Just wanted to predict, if I may speculate on the future, the number of Windows Phone devices that will be announced next week. I'm going for five. I'm going to guess that Nokia are going to announce one. Sony are going to announce one. LG are going to announce one. HTC might. I'm going to be optimistic there. And I think there'll be a mystery Asian manufacturer, somebody coming out of the blue that we just don't expect. So I'm guessing at five new devices for us to cover on the site, which has to be good news, Ewan.
Yeah, okay, let me have thoughts to my head. I think that company A will announce two. I think Company B will announce one. I think Company C is concentrating too much on the Titan at the moment, so we'll just represent it. ZTE have already announced two Androids, so they could be clearing the air or focusing on the Titan. So I don't think they will either. I think we'll see one. I think four. I think we'll have. We won't have any. Anybody coming in from the Far East just yet. I think that they'll stay clear of this. I think we'll just be looking at the expected players that already have devices plus Sony. Rafe?
Either way, there'll be plenty of things for Rafe to run around and report on.
there will be. I mean, I guess I should put my money where my mouth is and do some predictions. I do think we'll get a couple of devices from Nokia. So I think it'll be, you know, one new one and maybe a representation of the Lumia 900 or similar. You know, do you count brand new devices or variants? The same could be applied to some other companies who have Windows Phone devices. Fujitsu may well be talking about their Windows Phone device in a European context. It's already been announced, but you know, would they make any changes for the European or the global market? I suspect Ewan's probably right. HTC may concentrate on Android this time round, but you never know. And there is the Titan 2 could get represented, as he puts it. You know, and LG have been sort of making a few noises in that direction, so we may see something there as well. I would probably be a bit more confident about seeing something from one of the Asian manufacturers, at least quietly, but it's very difficult to tell. So yeah, four seems a reasonable number for me.
David?
I would say I think Nokia have just got one coming, Fujitsu possibly two, LG one, Samsung HTC zero. That's
four as well.
Yeah.
So our over-under is 4.5 then.
Just to mention, about a year or so ago in the original Windows Phone 7 launch run, there was the HTC 7 Pro. I'm sure you guys have seen this at events. I actually had a detailed hands-on for several weeks. Basically a kind of a clamshell, almost like a clamshell device, like the old Nokia communicators, but with a keyboard that slid out and the screen hinged up, and you ended up with like a mini laptop. I still think that was a wonderful form factor. The 7 Pro was a really fairly nice hardware, a very nice keyboard, and only let down by the fact that the Windows Phone software couldn't work in landscape most of the time, so you're looking at a sideways on screen. But surely that's been more or less sorted now, and I'd love to see a manufacturer come out with a keyboarded Windows Phone device and do it properly. That's my wish.
Yeah, that is definitely a niche it needs catering to. I've got the 7 Pro here, and I think my criticisms of it is that because of the mechanism, it was really fat and chunky. The colours on the screen were horribly washed out. But otherwise, yeah, I liked it. It was a nice device.
I'm going to say no, guys. I think the time has passed. Windows Phone needs to hit mass market. I think when Windows 8 comes around and Research and Motion drops down in game enterprise, that's the time for a keyboarded device. I would much rather they have proper Bluetooth drivers in there and let us use our optional keyboards and use those rather than try and fashion out extra little dinky keys, because you're not going to get a good typing experience. You're going to thumbboard. And quite frankly, the Windows Phone on-screen keyboard is a joy to use. It is the best out of the whole boat, including swipes and Androids and Samsung's options and Apple's ones. I really don't see the need for a clamshell slider at this moment to confuse the issue.
I think Ewan's probably right there, and I don't think the platform's quite ready for other form factors. We'll probably get some hints about which direction it's going in, and there's a possibility that we'll actually see the first hints of that at MWC. I suspect it may be later on, and there's no doubt those different form factors are coming, but it feels to me like, you know, the landscape support in particular would hold back any device of that type for the time being. But I'd love to see it, and actually one of the things I always liked about, you know, the Symbian devices was you actually got a great range of form factors, from the clamshells like the E7, the QWERTY keyboards like the E6, to the sort of more traditional 12 key phones, and then of course the full touchscreen phones as well. And so there was something of a choice for everyone. And actually, I think this is a problem in smartphones in general now. It feels like the choices are diminishing. So I'd love to see any device outside of the usual form factor with the proviso, you know, that the quality is, you know, maintained. Because I think one of the problems is, you know, when you design a phone in a new form factor, you know, some of the quality sometimes slips. And, you know, I think there's plenty of devices out there that, you know, deviate from the main form factor, but then have a bit of a problem either with the build quality or something else. And so it's not just about having something different. It's got to be high quality different as well.
Yeah, just to respond to Ewan's point, yes, the virtual QWERTY keyboard of Windows Phone really is superb. I won't doubt that. But there's one big thing. When you open up a tablet-style phone, all touchscreen, in keyboard mode, you basically lose most of the screen to the keyboard, even so. And you're going to see a bit of what you're typing and a bit of the context. The whole point of these devices which open out with a physical QWERTY keyboard is that the screen stays the same. You can see everything, all the buttons, all the controls, all the text. And that's the big differentiator for me.
And you have the associated problems with the form factor to go with it. It is a balance and a compromise. And until Windows Phone becomes a big success in terms of marketplace and sales and guaranteed people picking it up, I don't think we'll see the investment again. I think HTC just had something handy and ready to go off the shelf. But there's lots to come out of MWC. We may well be surprised. Everybody might suddenly decide that this is the year of the slider. And I don't mean small American burgers that were turned into a science fiction program with that guy who was the architect in the Indiana Jones films. But coming out of MWC, there are always interesting things. Do we all still have our prediction hats on? Pretends to look around the Skype room because we're doing this in audio. Yes, we have. Good. So, guys, what do you think is going to be the most fun thing to come out of MWC? Not necessarily in our platforms, not necessarily in the smartphone world. What do we think is going to make us go, that made it a good and interesting time in Barcelona? Rafe.
Ooh, tricky question, Ewan. Well, with my Sirius hat on, I think wireless charging may be one of the things that comes out. There'll be lots of demos and just a few standards being talked about. I've seen a few emails go through, so you can expect to see some coverage on that. With a slightly sillier hat on, I suspect there'll be, well, maybe not so much fun for everyone there, but maybe fun for everybody listening in, is people complaining about the public transport workers who are going to be on strike, or at least scheduled to be, for the 4 days of the conference. Hopefully something will get sorted out, because you'll make it very difficult to get to some of the off-site venues if they don't. But I suspect I may end up having to do even more walking than I was originally expecting to.
For me, I'm keeping an eye on two trends here. The Sirius hat, I think we're going to see people continue to push NFC as a mobile payment system. I know that the networks would love to have another income stream, even if it's that 2% service charge that's coming off microtransactions. 2012 in the UK, certainly there's going to be a lot of it around London and the Olympics. And I think mobile payment is one of those bubbling under areas. So I'm hoping to see some innovation in there, rather than people just waving over because they've paired up their credit card to a device in their like their phone, such as Google Wallet. But I also have a sneaky suspicion I think we're going to see some manufacturers trying to push down into the tweeny market, as it were, the sort of 8 to 12 year olds, phones for them. You know, I think that, you know, when you get children who are 13, 14, 15, they're going to go for the smartphones now. But there's this lovely sort of 4 year gap where parents want a little bit more influence, where children want to have that sort of comms either at home on Wi-Fi or when they're just walking around to the playground and stuff. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see some initial signs, be it in software, Apple Hotel continuing on, or even in the hardware for that sort of younger area of the market. Steve, come to you next.
Yes, I'm going to suggest that the trend over the last, well, I guess, year or two to have ever thinner smartphones is the emperor's new clothes. We've just seen in the last month or so in America, Motorola have released the Droid Razr Max. So basically, it's the old Razr, which is quite thin. And then they basically said, okay, let's just fill the whole of the back out with loads of battery, 3,300 milliamp hours of power. This thing will run for days, no battery worries, and everyone has said, this is so much better than the old Razr. I don't have to worry about battery, and I really do not notice the thickness. Why people have to go down to 7 or 8 millimeters beats me. So I want to see companies bucking the trend and producing phones that aren't necessarily thin. They just be lovely in the hand with a nice, big, chunky battery. And I'm sorry if that's not very much fun, but I'm a geek, and that's what I do for fun.
David, your Linux head, not quite sure if that's a geek or not. It probably has a small crown that says King on it. But what are you looking forward to? Well, tell me it's a command line powered phone.
No. I already have one. It's for 900. Anyway, serious hat on. Riff was saying about wireless charging. I would love to see that happen, although I've got a feeling that we're going to have competing standards for years when instead of everyone just getting together and cooperating, because that would be too easy. Other than that, I think we're probably still going to see something akin to Alien Dalvik, trying to get Android applications running on everything else as well as Android. I'd like to see some enhancements in mobile security for what you do if you lose your phone, because especially if NFC and NFC payments are going to take off. The phone is becoming more and more important, and that, and it really needs to be locked down, because if you lose it, it's just going to be too catastrophic. The fun hat, I think the Microsoft Kinect has inspired a lot of people, and I'll be interested to see if there are any apps out there that are going to take advantage of front-facing cameras that let you just wave your hand around in front of a phone like a wizard to interact with the UI instead of actually touching the screen, because then we will have to worry about fingerprint-resistant coverings.
And if any of these things happen, we'll tell you all about it here on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's the All About Symbian Windows Phone Joint Podcast. Carl, if you're listening, it's a nice line. I'm going to steal it anyway. So, Rafe, passport and tickets all ready for you to head down to Barcelona?
Absolutely.
And we'll probably have the live page or something running on the website along with the reporting that we do from base, yes?
Yes, we'll have various updates. Keep an eye on the Twitter accounts. That's AA_WP for All About Windows Phone and AAS for All About Symbian, because that's where some of the live pictures and the tweets will be going up as well.
And David, you'll be up early. No, you won't be up early. Steve, up early. You're coming in to do the relief shift in the afternoon at MWC next week, aren't you?
I'll be working 24 hours a day through MWC week.
David?
Yep. Well, my internet quota is upgraded, and I'm ready to step in whenever I'm needed.
And I will be here pretending to say interesting things and just recording those moments for you. Says Ewan's right there, because that makes me happy. AllAboutWindowsPhone.com, AllAboutSymbian.com. Comments are welcome back on either of those sites. You can grab us by email, grab us by Twitter, Facebook, all the usual places. It's going to be a busy week in the mobile world. We might not be right there first. We'll be about 5 or 10 minutes behind all the sites, jumping on page views, but we will give you an in-depth, considered opinion. We will be there in the comments for you to discuss, disseminate, and disintegrate any theories that you spot there. I'm Ewan Spence. Thank you all very much for listening. Thank you to the panel, as always, for coming along and making it an enjoyable hour, and we're going to have fun covering MWC. We'll join you there in the virtual world next week. Ta-ra for now.